Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It is the 12th day of September. I hope that you are enjoying the free favor of God. It's what we in the Christian circles call the Lord's Day. And although every day is the Lord's Day, you've heard me say that before, but this is the day many people gather together with their Christian family, whatever that looks like and whatever iteration that looks like. And I pray if it's not your day that you find a time to get with the people of God where you can and how you can. It's one of the great questions I get all the time from people is, what do I do? Can't find a community of believers that I'm comfortable with. I don't have a magic answer for that, other than I think if you'll talk to the Father and He knows your heart, He is going to begin to reveal to you what that can look like. And so I encourage you to listen to His voice, because He is speaking. Today, talking about speaking, we have been dealing with God speaking to Cain in Genesis 4:7, and I want to turn to Genesis 4:8, where Cain, who hasn't really responded to the Lord, we don't have Cain talking back to God in the whole conversation. God says to him, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Don't you know if you do well, you'll be approved? If not, sin lies at the door." Cain has been challenged by God to take inventory of his emotions, take control over his emotions, and then encouraged by God that it's his destiny to reign over whatever is going on in his life. But we don't see Cain say anything back. Instead, Cain does what is kind of classic. And whenever you talk about these Genesis accounts, you're talking about things that become classic. They become classic because they're in the Genesis account. And what becomes classic is that God speaks to us, and rather than us conversing back with Him or wrestling out what He says to us, we turn to someone else to wrestle it out with them. And this is one of those moments where we really need to step outside of the traditional translation to get to the heart of what's going on. Here's verse 8 as it reads in our Bibles. "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." And the reason I say we got to move out of our translation is if you go into the Syriac translation or the Latin Vulgate translation or even the Septuagint translation, which is the Greek of the Old Testament, you get something closer akin to this. "Now Cain said to Abel, his brother, let us go out to the field. And it came to pass when they were in the field." In other words, in most of our ancient translations, Septuagint included, it has Cain calling Abel out into the field. In the translation you and I are used to using, it's almost as if it's incidentally. Like they're just out in the field together and then Cain kills Abel. But read in the ancient tradition, it shows us that Cain goes to Abel with the intent of taking him out into the field to kill him. Or as I like to think of this, Cain's first response to God's challenge is not to God, but to Abel. And how often do we hear from God, we wrestle something from the Lord, and we immediately turn to someone else rather than wrestling it back with the Lord? I know I've been guilty of this, feeling like I heard something from God and immediately taking it to my neighbor rather than wrestling it out with God a little longer to determine if what I heard was really the voice of God. And you might ask the million-dollar question, which is, how can I determine if what I heard is the voice of God? And I think the reality is that's why we're students of the Word. Because by being students of the Word and getting a glimpse of who the Father is through Jesus, that's what that to me is what the Scripture means when it talks about the volume of the book is written about Jesus. The lens that we use to interpret the voice that we're hearing in our heart, whether it be our voice or the voice of the Spirit, the interpretive lens is Jesus. Listen, the interpretive lens is not even Scripture, it's Jesus. So go watch how Jesus does it, and that's the lens through which you can determine if what you're hearing is God. Because, let's be honest, you'll hear something, you don't know if it's just your own mind or if it's the Spirit of the Lord. And and I've even said before, well, if you hear it, it must be the Spirit of the Lord. But I back off of saying that anymore, because I know the reality is that we can make ourselves believe a lot of things. And so we need a lens through which to interpret, am I hearing the voice of the Spirit or am I hearing something else? And that interpretive lens, the safest place to land seems to be the Lord Jesus. Cain, of course, doesn't have the Lord Jesus. That's not an option for Cain. And we're not arguing in this text in Genesis 4 whether or not Cain is hearing from God. The text is very straightforward that God has a conversation with Cain. What is shocking is that Cain doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't respond to it. He doesn't wrestle with it. And he doesn't take the voice of God serious enough to go to war with his own emotions. And instead, he just gives up. He runs away from taking inventory of his emotions. He's the early version of Jonah. And I know I keep circling back to Jonah, but you got to forgive me. I'm on Jonah. I'm writing Jonah and researching Jonah. So I keep coming back to this in different themes of the Bible. But this is something that resurfaces in the prophet Jonah, is that God confronts Jonah. And I'm going to just jump to the end of that book, the fourth chapter, where God confronts Jonah about his anger. Same confrontation he has with Cain. And in that confrontation, God says, do you do well to be angry? And Jonah basically says, yes, I do well to be angry. And God says, okay, good, because so do I. This is why I am angry over your treatment of Nineveh, because I want to see them redeemed. And you're mad because this worm ate the plant that provided you shelter from the sun and the wind. In that instance, Jonah does at least acknowledge his anger. But what God is working in Jonah is to show that it's unfounded anger. And the book doesn't end with a satisfactory ending, because it's not supposed to be satisfactory. It's a question at the end, because we're supposed to keep wrestling. We're supposed to keep taking charge over that emotion. We're supposed to rule over it. It's not supposed to rule over us. So Cain's decision to turn and go talk to Abel and to drag him out into that field and then rise up and kill him is not a spur of the moment. This is where I think I'd like to land today. It's not a spur of the moment decision. It's not, oh, it got the best of me. No, it's premeditated. And he was warned about this from God. Hey, why are you so mad? Sin lies at the door. You're supposed to dominate it. But rather than talk this out with God and rather than go to war with his own emotions, he lets it take him to the worst possible place. He lets that emotion take him all the way to murder. And there's no worse place to be than where it ends life. And that's what's about to happen with him and Abel. This is going to set off a course of events in the Bible. And it's also going to be the means by which we can interpret blood sacrifice. We'll get into what I'm talking about with that tomorrow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.